literally was coming faster than I could get a hold of things, to where we kept having to get different merchant accounts because they couldn't understand how rapidly we were growing. And they're like, that just doesn't happen. So I had to end up finding another merchant to give us an unlimited cap of how many transactions we can have or how much money we can bring in, because we just didn't have time to wait on this merchant account to investigate us to see what we're
doing. Like, listen, we don't have time to explain that we're not money laundering, okay?
Exactly. We just got to move on.
Welcome to Freedom Slay Podcast, where fempreneurs, side hustlers, and entrepreneurs come to fast track their success. If you're a millennial girl boss, listen, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the goods, because every week you're going to get the tools that you need to slay your business goals to create a life of time and financial freedom. I'm Gennette Jones, your host and Freedom Slayer in charge here. Let's begin. Welcome to episode 68 of the Freedom Slay podcast. Now, if you've ever been in debt, or maybe you're currently in debt now, or you're looking to build your credit, you're going to enjoy this episode. If you're someone who wants to get your financial life together, then you need to turn this one all the way up and grab a piece of paper as well. Because we're speaking with Arnita Johnson Hall, and she is the founder of AMB Credit Consultants. She's also the founder of Luxurious Credit Business, as well as the Luxurious Lifestyle Planner, and so many other businesses. She's running a multi-million dollar empire. However, it didn't always start like this. She started in debt, and not just in debt, but she has some really cool stories. I like to say that her stories are even richer than her businesses at this point. She has some really cool stories that she talks about, and more importantly are the lessons that she learned and the tweaks she had to do to her mindset in order to get to where she is today, teaching women all around the world how to build up their credit and get rid of their debt. So let's dive in. Hey, Arnita. Excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. It's indeed an honor.
Listen, I know you're doing a whole lot of great things in the world right now. So can you take us back a bit just to how you started out on this entrepreneurship journey and got to doing what you're doing today?
Oh, absolutely. So it honestly started, I cannot believe it'll be 14 years next month that I've been solely working for myself and being a full-time entrepreneur. But literally about 14 years ago, I suffered from bad credit. And my parents taught me the importance of credit. When I graduated high school, as graduation gifts to my brother and I, my mother gave us a 700 credit score. And she was able to do that by taking care of her credit and adding us onto her credit cards as an authorized user. So what that in turn did was gave us access to her credit history. So when I graduated high school, I definitely knew how to take care of my credit as far as paying them on time or what have you. But I definitely got addicted to the access. So I would literally get one credit card, run it up, then get another credit card, run that up. And it literally just turned into me having one credit card to the end result having 25 credit cards. I was working at Party City making about $6 an hour. And I just felt like, oh, okay, I can pay this $25 minimum payment, but a $25 minimum payment times 25 credit cards, I mean, literally something has to give. So I stopped paying them and I started, you know, just saying, you know what, I'll just let it happen. And I remember then a bill collector ended up calling the house and my mom was like, you literally just messed up your life. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, I went through all of this, you know, to ensure that you had a great start at life financially and you literally just threw it all away. And I didn't understand that until, of course, life went on. And I was at that point working at a medical imaging center where we would image medical records. And there was a lady there and said, you know, she said, hey, don't worry about it. If your credit is bad, just wait another 7 years and you'll have good credit again. So I was 18 years old and I was like, oh, okay, 7 years, I'll be 25. I'm going to be all right. Like I can live with bad credit and woo, ma'am, I take that all back. You can live with it, but you definitely can't live at your best. And I found myself within those 7 years needing a place to stay. Couldn't stay in the best area because they performed credit checks. needed a co-signer. And of course, because I did not take care of my credit, no one wanted to co-sign for me and take on that type of responsibility. I ended up becoming pregnant with my daughter and, you know, at that point being a single mom. So life just really got twice as bad for me. And I remember just finding my way, getting payday loans, having to cash my check at, you know, liquor stores or corner stores or check cashing stores, because oftentimes with bad credit comes bad finances or bad financial responsibility. So, in a self-charge, overdraft fees, checking accounts being closed, you name it, I neglected my credit and finances and went through it. And I was also on government assistance, and it was just like one thing after another, like me having to be dependent on the system, me having to waste money paying higher interest rates, or, you know, not being able to purchase the best vehicles, not really having proper transportation. All of this leaned on suffering from bad credit and bad financial hardships. And it wasn't until I had a friend of mine, and she was working for an insurance company, and they were hiring for a claims processor 3. And I definitely had experience, and she worked in HR, and she said, hey, you pretty much have the job. You know, at the interview, we pretty much just talked and caught up. And she said, hey, you know, we'll follow up with you next week, you know, to go ahead and get you started. Well, next week came and went. The week after that came and went. Third week, I finally followed up. And I was like, hey, you know, what's going on? I hadn't heard anything. And she was like, oh, you didn't know? You didn't get the job. And I was like, why not? And she said, you couldn't pass a credit check. And I was like, a credit check? That's the first time I had ever heard of that. And she was like, yes, your credit did not, you know, allow you to get qualified for the job. She said, but here's this website you can go to pull up your credit reports. And I did that. And that was the first time that I saw what they saw. And that was the first time I ever became embarrassed about my credit and finance situation, because I always feel like it was something that I was going through and that no one could necessarily see it. But to see that it was now hindering me from enhancing or progressing in life and providing for my daughter is when I said, you know what, I really have to do something about this. And once I pulled my credit report, everything looked 2 to 3 times as bad, because those creditors ended up selling those charged off accounts to collection agencies, and then those collection agencies began to resell them to other agencies. So although I may have defaulted on one account, because those accounts were able to sell and resell, that information was also reported onto my credit report. And my assumption was everything on my credit report must be correct because it's on the credit report. And I was like, okay, well, how do I go about fixing this? And I just didn't know how. So I ended up not getting that job, ended up being laid off the previous job. And I began working for a car dealership. I was a receptionist there. And from there, it literally changed my entire world and perspective on how credit works. And I saw how people were treated with good credit, and I saw how people were treated with bad credit. And people with good credit, they wasn't there that long. They was immediately, you know, shown to the parking lot, the car lot, to where they could, you know, you're approved for everything. Whatever you want on this lot, it is yours. And they were probably in finance no longer than an hour, and they drove off the lot with their vehicles. No background, you know, no job references. They didn't ask for paycheck stubs. And I was literally just amazed that that is honestly how it works when you have good credit. And even the treatment as far as being extra nice, you know, and just going over and beyond. And seeing how people were treated with bad credit, it was like, hey, you approve of this or you're not approved. And if you are approved, the interest rate is going to be this. Do you have a co-signer? How much are you putting down? You can only get approved for this amount, and this amount on this side of the lot is what you're capable of getting. And you were there for hours in finance to see what kind of lender is going to approve your auto loan. And we all know that during that time, when you have bad credit, I was literally seeing people paying 2 to 4 times more on their car payments than those who had good credit. And I went to the finance department. I was like, listen, I want to do this. Like, I want to have access to good credit. And I literally seen a young lady come in and purchase not one, but 2 vehicles. And they did not check her references. They did not ask for proof of employment. And she drove off with not one, but two. She literally called her daughter and told her to come pick her up and come get her car. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. And I said, that is what I want to do. And he said, the first thing you need to do is pull your credit report, look for any inaccuracies, and you need to challenge them with the credit bureaus. All of this was foreign to me, had never heard of it. But at the same time, I became intrigued by it. That next day, I said, I'm just going to go down to our public library and I am going to dig in. And it amazed me. I kid you not. All of the information that I was able to read about credit reporting, the inaccuracies on credit reports, depositions from state attorney generals and the government suing the credit bureaus for their failure to complete disputes and ensuring the accuracy of consumer credit reports, and how this was just a really, really big deal that was almost hidden in plain sight. And I began to study the Fair Credit Reporting Act and the Debt Collection Practices Act. And I just couldn't believe what I saw. And I began to implement what I read when it came to my own credit. And I was able to increase my credit score from a 303 to a 645 in 6 months.
Wow. 303 to 645 in 3 months. And how old were you at this time?
I was 25.
So I thought at 25, so that's 7 years, because I was going to ask you about that too, because yes, you mentioned that, you know, it restarts. So like, what does it start at? Or were you not at that starting point yet?
Here's the thing with the 7 years. It's 7 years to the last date of activity.
Okay. Yeah.
So people magically think, oh, in 7 years, all of it is going to go away. No, it's 7 years to the last date of activity. That's for one. Okay. And for two, those collection agencies begin to resell those accounts. So that means that at the time that they reported was when that time started. And it's not supposed to be that way. So from what I've read, and from what other experts have informed me, is let's say, for an example, an account is set to be expired from statute that seventh year. Any collection agency that purchases that debt and reports it to the credit bureau, that statute date still applies for that 7 year.
And they were just moving it. They were moving it to the day they took it. Okay, that makes
sense. What they would do, exactly. So what these collection agencies would do is they would report the date that they received it. And that is typically a newer date. So let's say if a collection agency purchases a charge-off debt from your creditor, and let's say they bought it 2 years after the statute.
They'll do it for today's date instead of 2 years ago. Okay, yeah.
Exactly what they're going
to
do.
That makes sense. So how did you go from doing that and studying in the library to starting your business?
Oh, wow. So I never thought that I would be an entrepreneur. I never sought out to be one. It was just something that really gratefully, you know, fell in my lap. And I was working at another claims processing center, and this one was for an auto loan company. At this point, I was able to purchase me a new vehicle and I was feeling really good. I was trying to, you know, claim my own independence and get out government assistance, of course. And there was a coworker of mine that, you know, just came up to me in mere conversation and was like, hey, I tried to refinance my house and I couldn't because my credit is bad. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, hey, you know, I love this. You know, bring me your credit report and I look over it and, you know, I'll see what I can do. You know, the next day brought me her credit reports and I looked and I'm like, hey, if you do this, and that, this should get you to where you need to requalify. And I can give you some of the dispute letters that I use to repair my own credit and correct inaccuracies on my credit report. So maybe this will work for you. So I gave them to her. And literally about 3 months later, she came to me and she handed me an envelope and she said, open this when you get home. Now, during this time, I was definitely going through a lot. I was the only African-American, the only Black girl in my department. It was horrible. And I hated it. I literally cried every day. It was a very, very stressful environment. And my coworker knew that. And she gave me the envelope, told me to open it when I got home. And as soon as she left, I waited about 2 or 3 minutes and went to the bathroom. And it was $3,500 in there. And I ran back and I said, Miss Mary, I cannot take this money. I cannot take it. And she said, yes, you will. And you will start your own business. Like, I know what you're going through here. And you helped me be able to refinance my home and take the equity out. So she was like, and I want to refer my sister to you, my aunt, and a friend of hers. And I was like, no, I don't do this. Like, I was able to tell you, but I don't think I can like do this for somebody else. And she was like, well, if you did it for me, you did it for yourself. And look what we were able to do. Why can't you? So I was like, okay. And, you know, it went in one ear and out the other. And I definitely still helped her friends and relatives, but I did it free of charge. And it was basically doing the same thing I did for Ms. Mary. Just, hey, this is what you need to do. Gave them, credit them some dispute letters specifically for their situation, and just told them to, you know, keep me posted and check in from time to time. And each of these women saw results. Shortly after that, I went on a job interview in an attempt to look for another job and ended up being fired from the job that I was working.
The redirections. It's like, listen, yes, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Stop trying to escape it.
Yes. And that's exactly what was happening. I said, you know what? And by that time, of course, I had already spent that $3,500. So when I got fired, I was down to $200. And I was waiting on my unemployment. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I said, you know what? I want to spend as much time with my daughter as possible. I was going to school full time. And I said, I'm going to do this. I am going to go into credit consulting and I'm going to work for myself. And the first time I made that decision, it was literally just to be able to pay my bills and be able to spend more time with my daughter. And literally word of mouth. And keep in mind also, 14 years ago, when you said that you were an entrepreneur, that means you didn't have a job. That means you were a hustler.
Some people, some people still look at you like that. Like, girl, shoot, work for yourself. That's cute.
Yes, right. I mean, they were literally calling me Tommy from Martin. Arnita ain't got no job. And it was devastating because I was, you know, really one of the first among my peers and family and friends to say, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm just not going to go back to work. And of course, there just wasn't a lot of support there because they were literally wondering, how does that even happen? How does one work for themselves? And I would be like, well, ask your boss, because somebody there works for themselves. So if they can do it, why can't I? And there was one particular woman that I helped, and she ended up working at a hospital, one of our county hospitals here. And I helped her reach her goal of purchasing a vehicle. All I knew one day was I was at my desk at home and my fax machine was going off. It was from people sending in agreements. So I was like, where is this coming from? Like, who has access to the agreement? So what happens is when someone enrolls into my services, there's an agreement that they have to sign. Just literally,
so she was copying it and sending it to everybody.
That's exactly what she did. And then but I didn't know if it was necessarily her. Like, I didn't know where this stuff was coming from. It was just her name. I mean, they had even completed the credit card authorization form. They were emailing her credit reports. So finally, she called me and she was like, hey, I just referred like 20 people to you. And I was like, I was wondering where that came from. And I thanked her and it literally took off from there. It just went crazy at that point. And this is strictly
her. I love that story. Seriously. Yeah. It's a few things in there that just makes me smile. One is that, like, we may not know where we're going, but there's a path for us and we're going to find it because you can't escape it. Right. So you were getting like, no, sis. Okay. We're going to fire you. On another job. Like, you know, the $3,500, all of that was so cool. So now you own A&B Credit Consultants. You have your luxurious credit business, a luxurious lifestyle planner, and even have a hair extension business. So am I missing anything in there? Because you're doing like all the things.
I mean, I do a lot. I do business coaching.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got a lot.
It's a lot.
And properties, right. So like, in what order? So I know that first came the consultant business because you explained that. But how do you know when it's ready to add something else to it? Because I know a lot of people, you know, have these visions mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs in general, because you may not have thought ever thinking about being an entrepreneur initially, but you have an entrepreneurial spirit clearly.
Right.
And
right.
like when people have all these ideas and things they want to do, you know, they often say, well, I need to do them all right now. Like at what point did you know, okay, I can move on to try this other thing to build up. Okay. Now let me move on. Like, how did you know, what was your thing on your serial entrepreneurial list that said, okay, I can now add something to it.
Very good question. And the interesting part about that is once you find something that works, it literally just, and you can do it even and witness your failures and still survive that. I think that's mm-hmm. one of the biggest fears with entrepreneurship is what happens if I fail? And that was something that I struggled with. But once I failed and found that I was still okay and alive, then hey, it's
it reminds
okay.
me. It reminds me of The Hangover when it's like, but did you die? Right? Like,
you're right, but did you? And that is the truth. So Luxurious Credit came next, and Luxurious Credit is a credit and financial literacy blog site that encourages millennial women to take that chance to normalize the luxury in their lives and not feel guilty about it, and to ensure that they are credit conscious and are financially savvy. What I wanted to do with Luxurious Credit is it literally started out as my own personal journey of my search for luxury. And when I thought of luxury, I didn't think of designer, expensive vehicles, big houses. I literally wanted the luxury of being able to get approved for what I wanted, when I wanted, on my own terms. I wanted access, the luxury to be able to do that. And that was taken from me or restricted when my finances and my credit was bad. And I never mm-hmm. wanted to live like that again. So it was literally, it started as my own personal blog site of me starting my journey from, you know, getting off 100% off of government assistance, starting to save money, starting to fix my credit.
Okay, real quick. Sorry, I have to cut you right there. When did you actually get off of financial assistance? Like, I need to know that.
July 2012. And I was pregnant with my
Okay, perfect. So July 2012. And you had mentioned something earlier too. You was like the country hospital here. So I'm like, where's here and where are you currently living?
Because yes. That's an important question too. I'm in Dallas, Texas, born and raised. Our county hospital is Parkland Hospital. It's a very, very, very big hospital.
Well, I figured that when he sent your thing yes. and all these people yes. were sending you faxes after that. Yes. So what year was yes. that?
That was 2008, 2009.
Okay, so that's when you started. Basically, your business got real, real at that point.
I was fired from my job, I believe, March of 2008. And then I immediately just picked up in my business. I was even going to people's houses, all right? Like, I was doing anything I could, you know, to get this off the ground. I was meeting people at Starbucks.
I was doing all the things. You're like, listen, I'm getting this all done.
I had to do what I had to do.
So you, from there, you did the Luxurious Credit business.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from there was Luxurious Credit, and that was 2013. And I think from there, that is what also helped take AMB Credit to the next level, because AMB Credit, the way that company is branded, is very corporate-ish, and Luxurious Credit is just way more engaging, way more relatable. So I could go to Luxurious Credit and get on that platform and be like, hey, girl, hey, you know, but get on AMB and say, hello, this is Arnita. How may I help you? You know how it is when you be in your home,
yeah.
and you put on hold and, you know.
So, you put it on hold to put yourself back online. That's what you
yeah.
did.
So that's really how it was. And I would basically funnel those from Luxurious Credit over to AMB. And the word of mouth, again, the power of social media. And then something that I really wanted to share was when I started AMB Credit, the finance industry at that time and the credit industry at that time was definitely dominated by, Caucasian men old enough to be my father. And I just wasn't getting the respect that I needed to scale my business. So I rebranded my business and I created this white guy named Tim Brackens. And I found a picture off of Google, a white balding guy in a suit. And I just basically presented him to be the owner of the company and that I worked for him. So I changed all of my marketing material and
I'm cracking up because this was actually my next question, because I heard this is something you did. So I was definitely going to ask about that. You said Tim Brackens?
Brackens.
Okay, go ahead. Continue.
And I ended up getting a affiliate relationship with a realtor, and he would send clients to AMB, refer me, you know, his unqualified buyers. And Tim was never available, of course. So every time somebody called, they would get me. So one day I was on Facebook and my affiliate partner, he sent me a message. He said, "Are you Tim?" And I was like, "What?" Like, it literally like took me back. And I was like, "Hold on, like, why would he even ask me that?" And I said, "Why would you ask me that?" And he said, "Well, for one, you're always available. Like, there's nobody else to ever talk to." And he said, you know, he just wanted to do his research on the company and found out that it was me. And he was like, "I think that is absolutely genius what you did." And he was like, "Your company really looks like an actual corporation." I was like, "Well, it is. It's just me, you know." And he continued to send people over. And then the story, I mean, we literally, well, my company at the time, it was just me working there at the moment. It became one of the most popular credit consulting agencies in Dallas. But people thought it was Tim Brackens that owned it. So Wayne, that particular affiliate, ended up telling someone at a local magazine here, and they reached out to me, and I ended up getting the cover of Southern Dallas Magazine in 2014.
And go you.
Yes.
And is that Southern Dallas?
Southern Dallas Magazine, Southern Dallas Business Magazine.
Okay, check you out.
Yes, and it from there, it just went bananas. And I still was into Luxurious Credit because that was the blog, that was the one that women could relate to. And I will literally just funnel those people from Luxurious Credit to AMB Credit. And I say 2014, our revenue was $500,000. The year prior, I had revenued $100,000. The year prior to that, $12,000. So literally, I went from 2013
revenue. No, oh, Mike, hold on. So you went from, so if we're doing it from like the front back, because you did it the other way, we're looking at, you went from 12 to 100 to 500.
And then 2015, 1.5 million.
Girl, stop. Okay, I'm going to let you keep going because this is getting me excited. I'm got goosebumps listening to this. I'm like, see, because people think it has to be small incremental growth. And it's like, no, you can grow exponentially, you know?
Yes.
Keep going, girl.
Yes. It literally was coming faster than I could get a hold of things, to where we kept having to get different merchant accounts because they couldn't understand how rapidly we were growing, and they were like, "That just doesn't happen." So I had to end up finding another merchant to give us an unlimited cap of how many transactions we can have or how much money we can bring in, because we just didn't have time to wait on this version account to investigate us to see what we're
doing. Yeah, like, listen, we don't have time to explain we're not money laundering, okay?
Exactly. We just got to move on. And then came the Luxurious Lifestyle Planner, which is a stationery company that is geared towards helping women create budgets, keep themselves accountable, to live the luxurious life they've always dreamed of. So it is an actual planner, a physical planner. And inside of it, it has budgeting worksheets. It has a savings guide to help you save $1,000 in a year. It has a spending trigger tracker, your needs and your wants. It's basically the entire system to help you get your ish together. And I have had women tell me that they've been able to save $25,000 in 1 year, $30,000 in 1 year, $10,000 in 1 year. One lady recently reached out to me and said she was able to pay off her vehicle. It is just this driven physical tool to help you keep yourself accountable and be able to even talk to your homegirls. Like, "Hey girl, hey, you getting your credit together? You getting your finance together? Let's do this together." And it's very pretty and luxurious. And I just wanted to create a luxurious financial powerhouse of a brand that was going to engage, empower, and intrigue women to live the life that they deserve, because we work hard. We taking care of kids. We're taking care of our mates. We're going back to work. Like, we're trying to enhance and advance our careers. And it seems like we women are always putting ourselves on the back burner, and our finances is what literally takes a hit from that. So the life that I was able to create for myself by putting my finances together and living a life that I literally dreamed of and I live it every single day was something that I wanted others to be able to experience.
I love that. And I'm sure the planner in and of itself, we could probably have you on another podcast just to talk about the difference in creating a physical product, because I'm doing a physical product now. So I get it's completely different than doing a service thing. Listen, with a whole lot of different obstacles to climb. Yes, but that's so great that you created this thing that's going to, it's still poured into your other businesses that you had already created. Yes. And it's helping those that maybe don't have the ability at the moment to work one-on-one, or, you know, maybe they want something that they can use along with the one-on-one and all of that. Right. So I think that's brilliant. And what about the hair business? You have a hair extension business too, right? Like, you have so many things going on.
I know. So my hair extension company is Belladonna Extensions. And I actually acquired that business from another company. And what started that?
Okay. Miss Investor, you invested in someone else's business. I did.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it. Because she was definitely like, you know what? This is more than what I thought. You know, it's a lot of work. And for me, I'm someone who loves hair, and I have a head full of hair, but it's like, it's so much to deal with. I want to keep it protected. And I was spending thousands of dollars on hair, but here was the issue. And I don't know if you can hear this, girl, but you know how you start patting your hair when your hair starts itching all the time, and you really start thinking that it could be from, you know, buildup or what have you. I had a friend that worked at our local beauty supply store, and I went in there just patting my head and scratching, and he was like, what's going on with you? And I was like, man, my head has been itching. And he was like, it's probably from the hair. And I was like, this is Brazilian. Like, this is the top of the line. And he was like, girl, Brazilians are not cutting off their hair. Like, that is Chinese hair that has been processed to manipulate Brazilian hair, but it is not Brazilian. And that shocked me, because I had literally paid about $900 for these four bundles. So that's when he literally broke down to me. He was like, you may need raw hair. It could be the chemicals in the hair extensions that's irritating your scalp. And I had never heard of that. And I began doing my research, and I ended up doing a school paper on it. And I was like, wow. It became the search of looking for raw, unprocessed hair. And it was almost like a needle in a haystack. And I remember finding a vendor, getting the hair, and it was just absolutely amazing. And I would just wear that. And I remember going to a club one day. This was like 2014. I literally have to tell you, my hair was just on 10 that day. And it just looked like my hair, my bundles had just birthed from heaven. I was literally like in the club swinging my four bundles, and women was literally all over me that night. It was not the fellas for the first time. Can you believe that? It was
literally that is hilarious. And so there you go. You're always just because you are the product of your business. So you have your hair on, and you were the one that, you know, got your credit cleaned up and was able to help others. Like, because you are and own your businesses and like own them fully and utilize them. That's why they're, you know, people are catching on, and word of mouth is spreading so fast. I've never worn weave, but I could follow that story. And, you know, I get what you're saying. I didn't realize there were issues with the, you know, natural versus the raw and all of that, but that makes a whole lot of sense. And it's you. And what year was that? What year was the hair extension?
That was 2014.
Okay, yeah, I think
so. 2014 is when I was buying the hair, and then I met a beautician at the club that night, and she wanted to know if I could source hair for her. And basically, what that means was I would source her some really good vendors, and I would, you know, charge her to test the hair and, you know, see if it was good quality, and then I would provide her with that vendor information. And this woman literally paid me like $3,000 to do that. So that ended up being my side hustle. And I ended up saying, you know what? My credit business has grown so much. I cannot do this anymore. But I still loved hair. And the demand for it just became so big. Just as many people as asking my credit, they were asking about my hair. And so I started to start my own hair extension line. But I'm like, man, it's just a lot. Let me see if there's anyone who would be interested in selling theirs, or maybe me investing in theirs. And then that's when I found the owner of Belladonna Hair Extensions. And we built a really good relationship, and I began to invest in her business. And then she came back and said, you know what? I just don't have that entrepreneurial spirit. Let's talk, you know, purchasing.
And I love that. I love that. And opportunities just come when, yeah, when you're there and open and ready to receive them. So that makes a whole lot of sense.
2015.
Yeah, you're just the go-to expert, right? You're a top credit expert, financial coach, and you help people, like you said, get all their ish together.
Yes.
So for the person listening, feeling like maybe they're a financial mess, maybe they're in debt and no savings and little income, maybe poor credit, you know, where do you suggest that they start? If they just want one simple solution to start the process, what can they do?
I want to say two things, because credit and finance go together. And the first thing that I would say on the finance side is to create a budget. And it's important to know what is coming in and what is going out. And you're going to have to sacrifice your lifestyle. Mentally, you're going to have to say this to yourself. If I want change, I have to be the change that I want to be and see. And that's going to start with me. And that means that I'm going to have to say to myself, how I'm living right now, how I am living right now must change. And it starts with my finances, mentally first, because you can literally pull your credit report. You can literally get yourself on a budget. But if you are not mentally able to transition your mindset, then it is useless. So the first thing is that mindset. And then the second one is literally pulling your bank statements to see what is coming in, what's going out. There are also some really good apps that can assist you with that. I love Mint.com, M-I-N-T.com. They have a free app that you can use if you have login online banking, where you can submit your login credentials. It is absolutely safe and secure. And it definitely breaks down what's coming in, what's going out. It keeps track of your spending habits. And that was what I did when I first started. And it just blew my mind that the money I kept saying I didn't have, I was eating it. So I went out a lot. I ate a lot.
Girl, you're a girl after my own heart. Because listen, if there's one place I'm spending all the coins, it'll be
on food.
I mean, or at grocery stores.
If I don't know how to do nothing else, I know how to eat, and I can probably eat you.
Listen, exactly. There we go.
I love that, and I love to eat, and I literally got on a budget, and I restricted myself to a lot of things, and I was quick to tell my friends, hey, I can't go out today. Because typically when you go out, it consists of sometimes buying a new outfit. It consists of, you know, buying hair products and getting your hair done, getting your nails done. You know, it consists of gas to get to this destination or Ubering there. And all
that's
of that
smart.
Stuff,
it's so much more than what you think it is. Exactly. Because you're thinking, oh, it's just dinner. I'll put $100 aside. But what about the outfit and the eyelashes and all the things? Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. Makeup. Yeah. It adds up.
The wax and all the things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have to sacrifice those things. From there, the next step is to pull your credit report, because just because the information is on your credit report, it does not mean that it is accurate. So you have to read your credit report. You have to audit it, and you have to correct it, and you have to properly communicate with the credit bureaus to get that done. So those two go hand in hand, and it's very simple. These are very, very simple action steps to take, but I can tell you that it will be the most important ones when it comes to investing in yourselves to financially independent.
Oh, for sure. So the mindset piece was super important, tracking your ins and out and pull your credit report. While those things sound super simple, like you said, they're powerful. And once they're done and done consistently, like you're tracking your ins and out, because the problem I find is so many people would just like, they'll track the big outs, right? So they'll say, okay, yeah, I purchased that bag for $200 or whatever, but they're not tracking the little small things like the Starbucks and all of that really ends up adding up, right? Those little leaks that make big holes. So I'm glad you even mentioned that. Thank you for that. So who is your ideal client? Like someone who's listening to this, they want to know if they're a good fit for your business. Like, who are they? So they can, if they're listening, they say, okay, let me contact AMB Credit because I need to sort myself out.
Absolutely. My ideal client is someone who is just fed up and they're ready to live. Like, oftentimes we don't know that we're just existing sometimes. Like, we're just going to work. We're just, you know, doing stuff day by day. But are you actually living? And are you ready to live luxurious? So this client is someone who is just ready to change their lives financially, someone who is ready to become credit conscious, and someone who is trying to come out of being ashamed and embarrassed, because there's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed of. And someone who is ready to come to us and be confident with knowing that this is going to turn around for the best, and that they're going to be able to live the life that they deserve, to gain access and to be able to leverage a life of generational financial wealth.
Love that. And yeah, I love that you spoke on that. What I call is, I said ideal client, but I like to call it a perfect vibing client, right? Where it's beyond just the demographics and psychographics. Like, you want to make sure their mindset's right, that their energy is good with yours, like all the things. So 100%. And those individuals who are listening and they fall into that category, where can they learn more about you? Where can they follow you? You know, where can they grab the planner? Let them know all the places where they can get your goods.
Absolutely. If they're interested in signing up with our credit education services, they can do so at ambcredit.com and click on the Join Now tab to complete the enrollment form. If they are interested in getting credit educated, knowing more about the credit consumer laws and how they can, you know, level up to live luxurious, then they can go to luxuriouscredit.com or follow me on Instagram, which is Luxurious Credit, where I'm always giving great credit and finance tips. And of course, if they would like to put the pen to paper and make things manifest and happen, then they must grab the Luxurious Lifestyle Planner. And they can do that by going to luxuriouslifestyleplanner.com. And if you would like to follow me on social media, all of the business names that I just gave you, they all have their own social media accounts, Instagram.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm like, well, if they follow you, they can definitely find all the handles, all the handles on your Instagram. No, but that's so cool. And just for those of you listening, because I know sometimes it's hard to tell when we're saying letters, it's A as in Apple, M as in, I don't know, Microsoft, B as in but. So not A-N-B, it's A-M-B credit. Yes. So you can go on there to get all your information. And it's one question that I love to ask at the end of every single interview. And that is, what does freedom mean to you?
Oh, wow. Freedom means stress-free. It means access. It means living. It means to be able to conveniently do whatever you want, to be free, to be able to be yourself. Like, freedom means wealth. It means without it, it hinders you. It keeps you locked in. It keeps you stressed. And freedom is like fresh air. It's life. Freedom is life.
I like that. Freedom is life. Freedom is like fresh air. I absolutely love it. And was there anything else you wanted to share that maybe you didn't give, you know, that you think would be valuable for the audience? You didn't get to.
Yes, I do. Something that I learned about the importance of finances and making sure that you are properly in position to take care of yourself financially is, in the event something happens to you physically or what have you. I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer last year. Definitely took me for a whirlwind. And the price of everything goes up. And I was looking at maybe having to pay $200,000, and that was just at the minimum of the care that I needed. And I had to start putting things in place to be able to properly, you know, pay for that, to make sure that, you know, I could beat this. I ended up deciding to take the holistic route, and numerous reasons, just upon doing my research and, you know, finding out what I felt was going to be best for me and the direction I chose to take, I chose to go the holistic healing route. And as of July of this year, those cancerous tumors are now gone.
That's so amazing.
Yes.
Yes. You have so many cool stories and great stories that are so empowering.
Okay. And thank you. And it was much cheaper. You know, I didn't come out anywhere near $200,000. And I was able to keep my body parts. I was able to keep my hair. It was definitely life-changing, and I'm the healthiest I've ever been, you know, prior diagnosis. So health is wealth, and we have no idea how much stress plays onto our bodies, and the way we think plays into our bodies and into our universe. And finances plays a huge part in that. Financial stress, financial anxiety, you know, oftentimes not having access to the best foods, or living a life of, I know for me, having access to a lot of food, but not good foods because I wasn't eating that. So, you know, sugars and carbs and, you know, GMOs and all of those things, I was fast foods, you know, putting into my body every day and not taking care of myself, it eventually took a toll. So just also understanding that even financially preparing yourself for those type of situations, which I never thought I would ever have to prepare financially for cancer and how I was going to take care of myself and how I was going to continue to keep things afloat. Most patients who were diagnosed, or most people who are diagnosed with cancer, they end up depleting their 401k, depleting their savings, and having to tap into retirement funds. And it's definitely something that I never thought that I would have to prepare for, but it's definitely something that we have to lead to. And not just, hey, I could get cancer, but hey, what if I'm, you know, sick and for days, you know, there has been times where I worked and I was sick for a day and lost a day's of pay. And we all know the disruption of a paycheck can literally throw everything off. So, you know, so
preparing yourself for the unexpected. Yeah. And how many people do you have working for you now?
I have 8 people working at AMB. I have 5 over at the Luxurious Lifestyle Planner, 5 over at Belladonna Extensions, and my coaching company is 3 of us over there.
Oh, wow. So you have, hold on, 8, 5, 5, right, 18 and 3. So you're looking at 21 employees then?
Yes.
And you said, is it Belladonna or Belladonna?
Belladonna.
Okay, because I heard you say Belladonna, and then I'm like, did she say Donna at one point? Okay, that's exciting. And I know you said in 2015, you did $1.25 million. What was 2019 looking like?
I did $1.5 in 2015.
$1.5, my bad. Go. Okay.
It's like 2016.
Don't let me take all that quarter of a million.
Sorry. Did you say 2019, or did you say 20?
Yeah, for last year. So I'm curious what. Oh,
okay. Last year, we did 2.5.
Wow. So look at that. Go you. This is so exciting. And I'm sure it's an inspiration for so many people that are listening, you know, especially when you look at your credit score initially being in the 300s and where you are now. It's just such an amazing story. So thank you for hopping on the podcast and for sharing this.
Thank you. It's indeed an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Isn't Arnita great? If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, do me a favor and take a screenshot and tag us over on Instagram. I'm at Gaynete, G-A-Y-N-E-T-E, and she is over at Hello Arnita. So that's Hello A-R-N-I-T-A. We'll chat next time. Okay, I see you, Freedom Slayer. You stayed through to the end, which tells me that you likely enjoyed this episode. Listen, if you haven't already, do your sister a favor by heading on over to the iTunes store to leave a review for the podcast. It'll help others like you find and benefit from it. And look, it also helps with the rankings. #TransparentAF. I appreciate you.